Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I generally don't have very long prayers, but today I guess I had a little marathon prayer, but a lot of people are sitting at home wondering what to do with their whole day anyway, so you're welcome. Our sermon text for this Palm Sunday, it's going to be taken from the Gospel of Matthew. And it's going to be taken from a part of Scripture that I think is so extremely powerful that I at times just marvel at it myself. And I know we make a lot of opening statements like that. And sometimes it's just to get your mind and your thoughts together before you actually open with a message. But the fact of it is, this really is a very intimate moment. It's a very powerful moment. You couldn't have this moment if you don't understand exactly what was read to you out of Philippians chapter 2. Because we turn around often in our lives and we ask, well, how can Jesus struggle? We understand he's 100% God, but he's also 100% human. And that is for our minds hard to wrap around. And so we wonder, how can this happen? But Philippians actually turns around and it tells us there. It says very plainly that he was equal with God. There's no doubt about it. But he emptied himself. That to me is so amazing. That he turns around because he loves each and every one of us. So that he could be the ultimate sacrifice for us, in our behalf. He gives up his right. He gives it all up. There's so many times that we feel like as human beings we're not loved or that we're not cared for or we don't fit in. But really this brings out the understanding that God loved you so much, as he says we know in the Gospel of John. But he gave up his right for you. He allowed you in reality to step forward and he stepped back. You became the righteous. But he became the unrighteous. He took it upon himself. So never think that you don't have a value. Never think that in reality you are not loved. We are looking for our value or our love probably in the wrong place. Our value comes from who we are in Christ Jesus. And from that point forward, we can enter into a fallen and a broken world. And we, in fact, can turn around and love others that are fallen and broken. Our sermon text for this Palm Sunday will be taken from, obviously, Matthew 26. And it's going to be taken from verse 36. And we're going to read through verse 46. So 10 verses. Matthew 26, 36, reading in Jesus' name. Then Jesus went with them to the place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. He said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to the point of death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and he prayed, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to his disciples and he found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." And again, for a second time, he went away and he prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass, unless I drink it, your will be done." And again, he came forth and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and he prayed for a third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to his disciples and he said to them, sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. My betrayer is at hand. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, these are your words that speak to us. Father, sometimes with our, well, actually all the time, with our human understanding, they don't penetrate. Father, we ask that you would allow the flesh to be silent, that your spirit would speak, that it would be real. Father, allow your words to speak to us and show us the truth of your love and your encouragement. Father, we ask that you'd sanctify us in the truth because your word is truth. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus had prepared his disciples so many times. He had shared with them so many times that he, in all honesty, would be taken, that he would be handed over to sinful men, and that he would be beat, he would be scourged, and then he would be crucified. He would die. He always kind of gives them the hope, and I will rise again. And that didn't seem to register because, in all honesty, dead men don't get up. So this goes beyond what we understand as being normal. This goes beyond what we understand as being viable. And so then, now, when he makes this statement once again, it's an amazing thing because it seems like it's starting to sink in a little bit. And just before our text, Peter is the one that stands up and says, basically, I will never deny you. Though everybody else will deny you, though everyone else will seek to destroy you, and I'm coloring this, I'm adding a little more in here, I will not do that. And Jesus smiles and he says, you won't? He says, I'll tell you what, you're going to deny me three times before the cock even crows for you, before morning even comes. See, then we kind of get on our bandwagon here, and we have a tendency as human beings to look at Peter and say, well, here's that bold one that makes a statement and then just fades away. Don't forget the scripture says when Peter said this, then all the rest actually said, yeah, we won't either. So he wasn't the only one. He was bold enough to say it. He was bold enough to stand in it. But the fact of it is they all said that they would never deny him. But Jesus knew better. He knew Peter was a piece of work left to his own devices. He would bail on him every single time. He was a fallen human being. I'm no different. Why do I say this? Left to my own devices, I am no different. But that never stopped Christ from doing it. That to me is an amazing thing. Because when we turn around in our lives and we look at our external lives, we'll oftentimes do great things for people, but then, not all the time, can't blanket statement it, but quite often, we'll make sure we get a reward for doing it. Jesus knew that humanity would bail on him, but he still loved us enough to go do it. He still went to the cross. We talk about grace sometimes as though it's being poured out too much. Actually, it is a scripture that says he had poured this grace out upon all human beings. But we act like grace is being abused. And actually, how do you abuse something that's free? But the reality of it is that God took a risk, if you want to say it that way. And I don't like to say that in with God. He's the one that poured the grace out. He was willing to do it, understanding that not everybody would handle it quite right. Sometimes we do that in our own families. Sometimes we show grace, or sometimes we will bestow gifts upon people, understanding that they probably won't always use it in the right way. But we still do it. Because we love them. God loves us. But the point is, Peter turns around and he made that bold statement that he will never deny him. That he would stand up and fight for him. And actually, for a little bit here after, when if we were to get past our text today, we'd find out when they come to get him that Peter does kind of rise up and want to take things into his own hands. But we're not there today. So Jesus turns around, and now this moment is coming across, and I think this is kind of interesting. It's getting real. It's getting heavy. So Jesus takes them actually to Gethsemane, the place of the olives. And I think this is kind of interesting. This is kind of a walled garden. It's kind of a private area, there's no doubt about it. But it also is a place where olives are grown and actually pressed within the garden to make oil. And it's like, I don't want to get too spiritual on that, but I think that's kind of interesting where something is pressed, it is crushed in reality to bring out the goodness that it has to offer. And Jesus, in reality, is being pressed here. He can feel the pressure of what's taking place. So he brings them to Gethsemane, and he brings with them the three that he generally brings. And so it's Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. And they begin to be, he begins to have a lot of sorrow. And this is really what it is. He's like lamenting here. He's like going through agony, if you could say it this way. And so he's going through a lot of this emotional distress that a human being would go through. This is why we're all worried about this pandemic that's going on. This is why we've shut down a nation. Because in all honesty, death is not easy. And we'll do whatever it takes to make sure that we can stave this off. And Jesus, being fully human, emptying himself of his right to protect himself, he's experiencing this, the realness of this. And it's an amazing thing. I remember years ago that when we were dealing with my father-in-law passing away, he was dying of cancer. And so many people, the family is huge. And they were coming around his bed. And every single person that came into that room, he would ask, please pray that Papa goes home tonight. Please pray that Papa goes home tonight. And I'm talking probably about 70 to 100 people that went through that room. There's a man that's ready. His wife has gone to glory. He suffered with cancer. He asked every one of his grandchildren, great-grandchildren, maybe his kids, pray that Papa goes home tonight. If there was ever a man that was ready. A couple of the children were in the room. It was time to go to bed. And some of Judy's siblings said, Dad, everybody's gone. It's okay. Close your eyes and go to sleep. And he said, what if I don't wake up? It's never easy. It's never easy. Because death was never meant to be. Don't think it was easy for Jesus. We sometimes will turn around and we'll make a statement, and many theologians have, and many that argue against the understanding of the greatness of Christ coming, Emmanuel, God with us. They say, well, it was easy for him because he was God. That makes it all the harder. How does a perfect deity take upon himself our nature, our debt, and lay it all down? Die for it. Don't trivialize it. Understand how loved we are. Understand the depth of God's love for us. It says very plainly that he was sorrowful and he was troubled. And he actually, and I think this is so beautiful, because he admits it. What God would ever admit that he's struggling? I'm Dad. In my household, I am father. And in my human nature, I don't struggle. My kids are not going to see this. And we turn around even as pastors or leaders in the community sometimes, and we want to act like we don't struggle. Everybody else out there struggles, but we don't struggle. What a bunch of garbage that is. We are all human. We all go through the emotions and the struggles. We are not in reality Superman. There are times that God will give us incredible strength. There are times that God will allow us to lead. But to show your children, to show your friends, to show others around you that it is difficult is not a weakness. This is a powerful, powerful setting that Jesus has here, because Peter was trying to be so brave. Peter was going to stand up against the whole Roman citizenship. He was going to stand up against those leaders and the Jew in Israel. And Jesus says, I'm hurting. I don't know if I can do this. Pastor, you're making him too human. No, he made himself that because he loves us. He became vulnerable to what we go through because he loves us. It says very plainly, my soul deep within me is very sorrowful. He says, even to the point of death. He says, I need you. Doesn't say it in those words. But look what he says. Remain here and watch. Watch with me. I need you. Peter, you made this bold statement. You said that you would stand up and defend my life. I need you. Right now. This is not a great victory battle where you pull out your sword, Peter. It's not a great defense where now you're going to propagate all your people in the right places and make sure they're defending against everything. Peter, I need you right now to watch and pray with me. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there are so many people that still need this in this day and age. Our battle may not be one that we can greatly see. Our battle may not be one that we can turn around and identify. But the fact of it is, there are people that are alone, that are hurting, that are scared, that need prayer, that need vigilant warriors to call them, to encourage them, to love them. I don't want to do it all the time. I'll be honest with you. By the fifth call yesterday, and I was trying to paint one room, and I'm not complaining. Please don't think that I'm complaining. God has blessed us. But by the fifth call of just trying to get something done, the phone rings again. Person needs you. And especially with some individuals that I've been looking at, if that was my mother, I would want someone to answer the phone. It's not always with swords. It's not always with technology. People need us in prayer, with caring and conversation. People need you. Peter, James, and John, please stay. Listen. He says, watch with me. Be vigilant with me. And he left them there, and I don't know how they come up with this. Maybe in the Gospel of Luke it's a little more detailed, but it says that basically he went about 30 yards off. And this to me is just amazing. We don't understand what this is. We think this is just, it is out of exhaustion, I'm sure, to a degree. But this is in humbleness. This is in worship that Jesus falls directly on his face. This is how one would truly worship in humbleness to a living God. Jesus emptied himself of his Godhead. And he still falls in emptiness and worships his Father. but I'm too good for this, right? At times in my life, we feel like that this humbleness is not for me. It is for me. That I would also see this example, that in our deepest needs, in our deepest places, and I'm not saying the physical action is always necessity to lay on your ground. But like I said that one time, when we drop on our knees and lift holy hands to heaven, the scripture tells us to, even this makes me feel uncomfortable because I'm not used to it. But to have the humbleness, Jesus falls on his face and he's praying to his Father. He says, my Father, never separating himself from that relationship. My Father, if it be possible, if there's any other way, if there's just somehow we could skirt this whole deal, let this cup pass from me. It wasn't easy. But I love the words that are just so powerful after this. He says, nevertheless, not my desire, not my escape, but what you want. Oh, so many times in our lives we have a tendency, and I'm the king of this. I have done this so many times in my life. Lord, I hate the position I'm in. Take me out of it. Help me get out of this. Rather, our prayer should be, Heavenly Father, I hate the position I'm in. I hate that I'm facing this. I hate that this is going on. But allow me to go through it, that I may learn what I must learn going through it, that your glory would always be shown. Jesus didn't like what was happening here. This is not what he wanted. This was never what he wanted from the very beginning. But we had a fall. But he says, if it was possible, allow this to pass. He says, but not what I want, because I have emptied myself of that privilege. What you want. It's so amazing because he gives us the example of what God's will is, what he desires. Is it different for us? That we would also desire God's will? And he came to his disciples and he found them sleeping. And so it seems that he was gone probably for about an hour or so. I mean, maybe a little less. I don't know. I wasn't there. But he was gone for a little while. And he comes back and he sees how many? Three of them. There were three of them there, sleeping. But who does he address? Peter. Peter! Can't you even stay awake and pray with me? This isn't by chance. He's giving us the example of how we are in our human nature, that when we rely on our flesh, we have no ability to complete anything. Peter, and I'll add this in there, you were so bold a minute ago. I mean, just a little while ago, you were telling me, I'm going to stand up and fight against everybody for you. I will defend you to the nth degree. Peter, I've asked you to stay here and just watch and pray. And you can't even do that. You're going to take on legions? You're going to take on the Sanhedrin? Peter. No. No. He says, you can't even stay with me for 1 hour without falling asleep. Watch and pray. You need to watch and pray. Why? Because in reality, the tempter is here. This is a dark moment that's going on here. He says, the tempter is here. He says, and I understand, Peter, the spirit within you. Yeah, that's powerful. The life that God has given you is powerful. You're united in that. There's no doubt about it, but your flesh is weak, Peter. That's the problem here. And see, that's the problem of the human being. It is because of that fallen nature. And that's why Jesus in reality and God is answering through this whole position, Jesus, you need to do this. Because they can't. May this cup pass from me, Father, but not what I want, but what you want. You know what, Jesus? What I want as the Father is for the human nature, the human being in reality, to be redeemed. And you can see, they can't even do it for 1 hour. They can't even stay alert for an hour. He says, because the spirit is willing. He says, but the flesh is weak. So again, a second time he went away. And he prayed. He says, my Father. Kind of indicating, well, okay, I can see that it's not going to happen through these guys, right? But the fact of it is, if this cup cannot pass, or if this cannot pass unless I drink of it, he says, allow your will to be done. Lord, I still desire not to have to go through this. God, I desire not to have to actually take this upon myself. But now I'm starting to understand, it's got to be. I mean, we had just a small example there. Just a small one. He says, but your will be done. And I think Jesus is there and very plainly, I will do this. And he came and he finds him again sleeping. Does he chastise Peter again? No, his point was made. He understood. He understood what was taking place here. Jesus looks at him, they're all sleeping again. You think that for sure this time you'd be alert, you'd be drinking some coffee or something. Poking yourself with a stick. But he turns around and he sees them sleeping. And he doesn't chastise them. He doesn't. I think he looks at them as a father would look at their children, and he smiles. And he walks away, and he understands what needs to be done. Because the human being can't do it. So he walks away. And so then he turns and he prays. And what's this? The third time. Saying the same exact words again. So he turns around and he prays in the same fashion. And this to me is really, really interesting. There's a few thoughts that come to my mind here. Consistency of prayer. Consistency in the fellowship of God the Father. And there are many movements out there that will turn around and tell you, well, you need to pray it once, name it and claim it, and it's yours. Well, that, Jesus then just failed that test. There's people that say repetitive prayers are dangerous. And I can understand if you're going to a trance like state and stuff like that. But the fact of it is, it talks about that we are to never cease in praying. To continue to ask. And Jesus prayed this same prayer 3 times because it was heaviest upon his heart. So let's not judge people in those things. So if you find a weakness, if you find a struggle in your life, Jesus gives us a great example. Continually pray and ask God to work with you through this process. It didn't mean Jesus wanted his own way. But it definitely meant that he needed the hand of the Heavenly Father to help him through this. And so he turns around and he comes to his disciples again. And it's kind of interesting because this time now he understands everything is set. The stage is set. And he looks at his disciples and he says, hey, wake up. You got plenty of time to sleep and rest later because right now we got problems. I've been betrayed. He says, they're coming to get me. And this goes to show his Godhead. This goes to show that he understood what was taking place around him. He says, see, the hour has come. The Son of Man has been betrayed into the hands of sinners, of unrighteous people. And he says, so let's get up. And let's get going. Isn't that amazing? He's struggling. He's honest in his struggle. He turns around and he asks for them to watch with him, to wait with him, to pray with him. And then he sees the reality. Human beings left to their own devices cannot do this. So therefore, he is assured all the more of what he must do. And so therefore, in this communion with his Father, he comes to the understanding, it's got to be done. And he turns around and he heads into the fire. He doesn't go the other way. He doesn't say, let's get out of here because they're coming to look for me. He says, boys, get up. This is going to be a tiring time for you. Wake up. You're going to have to get your rest later because a lot of stuff's about to happen. And here we are. We're introduced into the passion, the beginning of the end of the earthly life. And he faces it in boldness. He doesn't leave. He doesn't hide. He says, let's face him. If we could say in our earthly terms, bring it on. Bring it on. Because Jesus is not alone. He knows his Father is there. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the same for us each and every day. That when we are struggling, that when we are going through difficulty, we need to be real, we need to be honest. We don't need to wallow in it, because we didn't see Christ do that. But we can be real, we can be honest, and we can ask for others to come alongside of us and encourage us and help us. And now we have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to make it all the better. There's no doubt about it. But don't look for perfection in human beings. Your perfection is Christ Jesus. Look to him. Look to God the Father. As we even look at what's going on in this world in this day and age, and I'm so sick of talking about it, but it's there. Don't look for perfection in all your leadership. They're doing the best they can with what they have. I wish we could all learn that. I really do. But let's continue to pray to God the Father, and let's say, bring it on. Because we're not alone. We live in the strength and the confidence of the power of the Holy Spirit, of Christ Jesus, and God the Father. We are more than conquerors. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let us unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you for this day. We ask that you would just continue to strengthen us in the upcoming week. Allow us to show hearts of compassion. Allow us to live in confidence. Allow us to